Good morning. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and this is Zach Stevens from ZD Stevens Company, which tells us nothing about what you do, right?
It doesn't really, does it, Tiffany?
Do you not want to know, for people to know what your company name is? Or like what it means?
You know, it kind of sounds, I guess, you know, JP Morgan and Chase, you know, you don't really know what they do.
Yeah. So I think when I met you, I thought you did financial planning because that's what it sounds like. ZD Stevens. And let me just say, this isn't ZD like the pasta.
I actually make pasta. That's what I do.
That would
actually
be really awesome if you made pasta and you had an office at the Biz Foundry, but you don't. What do you do? What does ZD Stevens Company do?
So I provide a couple different services, but primarily in the political space. I run campaigns for all three branches of government. So, you know, judges, mayors, folks in the legislature, also provide external communications work and public affairs work for trade associations and groups like that. So not pasta making.
Not pasta making. Not financial
not even close.
Assets of things.
Usually people think that I'm an attorney. So, not quite that either. But
So we're in an election year.
We are.
Yeah, I know. It seems crazy. But so your life is a little crazy right now, I would imagine, or your business.
I feel like my life is always crazy. You know, there's constantly dealing with, you know, many complex issues with my clients. But especially this year, running different campaigns across the state and whatnot, it's a little crazy. And then,
so what made you even want to get into this industry? Were you the kid in high school that was like just loved history and loved, you know, government? And I think we had U.S. government was one of our classes at one point, or Michigan government.
Yeah.
I'm from the north. But so, you know, what made you interested in and thinking, okay, I can start this consulting business and do this?
It's interesting. So I think the first time I ever had an inkling of interest in politics, I was really young and George Bush was in office. And I have no idea why, but I was always drawn to politics. I didn't really ever think I would work in it. Whenever I was in high school, I thought I wanted to be a physician. And you know, did the complete opposite. Whenever I was in college, I was pre-med and, I think I did that for like 2 years and I was working at this medical practice and I saw how, I don't know, involved insurance was in actual caring for patients. And I was like, gosh, I don't think I want to do this. Mm-hmm. And so
Did you feel like you couldn't make as much of an impact as you wanted to?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to be a family practice. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, you know, there was this kind of barrier with working with your patients because of insurance. And so I went to my advisor and I was like, I really don't know what I'm going to do with my life now because I don't think I want to be a physician. And she was like, well, why don't you take a political science class? And so I have no idea why she thought I should take this class, but she did recommend that. And I think I went back to my apartment and I was trying to
Figure out what political science even was.
No, I mean, she recommended one, but I was trying to get into it. And it was like, you either have to be in that major or you have to get approval from like the dean or someone. Mm-hmm. And so I just emailed her and I'm like, I'm just going to change my major to political science.
Just to take this one class.
Just to take this one class and just stuck with it and really enjoyed it. Those were some of my favorite classes. I had some adjunct professors that were judges. Mm. And so those were really fun seeing that, you know, what they're doing in their day to day, you know, it really brought, you know, the world of politics to life, I think, and government.
And you're from this area.
I'm from Livingston.
Did you go to school in this area?
I went to Livingston Academy. If I tell anyone that isn't from here that I went to Livingston Academy, they think I went to like a private military school. So.
I actually thought it was an alternative school when I first moved here.
I am a troubled child.
And they're like, no, that's just the name of the high school. And I'm like, Livingston Academy. Where did you go to college?
So I went to Tennessee Tech.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you stayed in the area.
I stayed in the area. And now I get to work across the state, you know, with all these different folks who are running for office or are in elected office. And I still have the pleasure of working with them even after the campaign's end.
So when you started actually working, because I think when people think of politics, so often people not in politics think of the one that's in the limelight. They think of the one that's running. They don't think of the tons of support team behind the scenes. So being one of those, like, you know, you start taking these classes and thinking, okay, I'll do something in politics. What made you want to help people run campaigns?
So I had actually, whenever I was in college, I guess I've always been a little, I don't know, entrepreneurial in a way. I had started working with businesses, doing like marketing and things like that. And I had someone that was in elected office come to me and they're like, can you help me do X, Y, Z? And I was like, well, I don't know. We can try. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how it all began. And it went from working with, you know, like businesses to working with elected officials and then running campaigns. And, you know, there is so many aspects of a campaign, you know, from direct mail to fundraising to running targeted ads on social media to posting on social media to any and everything you can think of. So that's kind of how it began.
Well, and we've talked about this before. All Good did not have Liquor by the Drink passed four years ago. Yeah, it was 2020. And so I was kind of the guinea pig because I had a loud mouth and I could get, you know, kind of rally the troops. And so we ran this campaign. But even just what you know, ads looked like, we picked green and yellow colors because, you know, red is usually affiliated with Republican, blue is typically Democrat. And I felt like, okay, we'll pick these neutral colors. But looking back, I think more conservatives were against this vote. And so maybe it would have been like, there's a lot of psychology that goes into it. Maybe I should have used a red color. I should have made it look like it was something that was positive for the Republican side. And this was really a campaign I was running for the middle of the line. Like, I wasn't running for, you know, using either party affiliated. But how do you kind of navigate all those little details of things of like, you know, okay, you're helping a county mayor run or something like that. It's like, well, you know, a county mayor, again, they're probably not really supposed to be affiliated with a party. Is that?
Well, it depends on the area. Some, like municipalities, they will have nonpartisan races entirely. So, you know, you're not running on Democratic or Republican ticket. But you do have to make lots of little decisions like that. One of the best things, or one of the things that I think is the best and that I always do, is I rely on the person's knowledge of the community. Like, what is so important? What do we need to be talking about? And that also helps inform even down to their branding and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. we, you know, like you are saying, these colors and different things, it makes an impact. And, all of that helps inform our decisions and whatnot.
So. Well, how do you figure out, so you're here in Cookeville or Livingston area, and so how do you figure out in a small community across the state? I mean, West Tennessee and East Tennessee are very different than Middle Tennessee. And so, you know, to know what's going on in these communities, and yes, a candidate should know their community better, but that doesn't necessarily mean they always do.
Yeah, so there's different ways of approaching this. You know, some candidates are like, they will be in a elected office already, so they might be a county commissioner and they're running for state representative or something like that. So they might have a really good feel of the community. Sometimes you have candidates that they're from that area, they've lived there a long time, you know, they work there, they've raised their kids there, whatever. But they're not as engaged in the community. So sometimes you have to say, let's put together like a group or a committee that will help us with your campaign and will help, that are, you know, more in touch with the community, mm-hmm. and help us figure out what are the issues we need to be running on, what do we need to be addressing, those type of things. So it's getting that local knowledge.
Have you ever had candidates that you're like, this is not a good fit because you need them to bring some things to the table too. They need to have a knowledge about their community and maybe they're so off base. I mean, with that in the nicest way possible, I think that maybe politicians might tend to have some egos attached to them in the most respect. Not any of the politicians I know that could be listening this morning, but some may have, you know, and I do think, I mean, I really do think we have some great state representatives here in the Putnam County area. But I think, how do you deal with like some of the times where it's like, I mean, I couldn't imagine running a presidential campaign. That sounds miserable and terrible.
Well, I haven't had the opportunity to run a presidential campaign.
Would you take it if you could? Like at this point, would you?
Oh, hold on. I think the White House is calling right now. No. You know, and it's way different running a presidential than it is, you know, like these more local races. A lot of these local, you know, smaller races, you don't see as much as, you know, like you're not usually running TV ads or anything like that. I say that, and it's interesting because some of these local races, we are actually seeing television ads, and you're seeing a lot more money being spent and whatnot. So, you know, it's way different, and there are, you know, I think your question was
have there ever been a bad fit?
And yeah, they're definitely. It's not, again, whenever I sit down with my you know clients or potential clients, I kind of try to do a vibe check, which is a strange thing to say, but
for those who can't tell, Zach's a little bit younger than the rest of us in the world.
But everyone thinks I'm way older. So,
I know. I was thinking your voice probably does not give away how young you are. But
yeah. Yeah. So I mean, just sitting down and seeing if it is a good fit. It's more of a partnership than anything. Like there is a give and take, you know, I am providing like professional advice to these people, but also need them to work with me.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Zach Stevens from ZD Stevens Company, a consulting firm. What is that, a political consulting firm?
We just say consulting firm. Just make it as unclear as possible.
There you go. Confuse people. So we were just talking on the break of just what local politics, and that's usually what you're working with right now is on a local level. And I think some people just kind of turn a blind eye to that and think, well, it doesn't really matter. And I really come from the mentality that my local government affects my day-to-day life way more than a presidential election. And like I said this off air, but I think people would probably skin me alive if I really made a huge stance on this. But what's happening in how we're paving roads and the traffic, the quality of life of a playground in town affects things way more than if I don't know, you know, some whether I know that this is sounds terrible, but whether we send troops out to a foreign country, that's not what's happening in my day to day life. And yes, I see the impacts of like money and this and that, but somehow I think we have this as a society that local government doesn't matter. Do you see that as well?
I think that a lot of people don't know how to engage with local government or don't know how to get involved. And it is so impactful. Your local government is oftentimes providing even like your drinking water, making sure you have clean drinking water. Of course they have to follow certain standards, but, you know, they're oftentimes your utility providers, making sure those every day, whenever you flip a light switch and that type of thing. So local government is very important. You know, they're setting your city budgets and, you know, doing all these things that impact your day-to-day life, and you really don't think about it at all.
So let's think about that in a deeper level. The city approves a budget. They're approving, you know, they work with the school systems. Sure. So they're approving how much your teachers are making and they have an impact on that. Yeah. And if we decide that we're going to not pay our teachers well, that's affecting my children and affecting the quality of teachers that we can get in sometimes, because good teachers are maybe going to leave a district and go to a different city that can pay more. And so it all kind of goes together, and people think, well, what are they like, you know, they're voting on, you know, the 4th of July celebration. It's like, well, that's part of it, but there are other really impactful things, or the traffic, that, you know, expanding roads and having roads that are more efficient for the growth of our communities, or deciding whether what kind of, you know, there's a huge hot button topic on a methadone clinic coming to Cookeville. Not that I want to get into all that, but that is something that our local government is dealing with right now.
Yeah, I mean, and it is so important. If there are things that you want to change about your local community, you need to be involved. There's a, I think it's Teddy Roosevelt. He had this quote or speech. It's like, man in the arena. You could also say woman in the arena.
Yeah.
And it's about just getting in there and helping to push your cause forward. You have to be involved to change anything. And that goes down to your local government. If there's something wrong with, you know, education that you see, or, you know, the methadone clinic, if you don't want that in your, I think their branding is in your front yard.
Yeah.
Then you need to be involved, and you need to try and speak out. If you say nothing or do nothing, then you're going to make no change.
Yeah.
So getting involved in these local matters is really important. Getting involved in local elections is really important. Your local elected officials have so much sway on your day-to-day life, as we've, you know, discussed. And there are so many opportunities to volunteer and make an impact in your community.
And so what, and we've talked about this before, I live in the little town of Allgood, and it's a mayor race and all that kind of stuff. So what would that look like to even start the process of thinking like, okay, maybe I should run?
Well, a lot of times you're going to need some money, mm-hmm. whether that is your own money, or if you go out and do fundraising from your friends, family, other folks in the community. That's one of the most important things, is like, you need to secure your financing. After that, you know, you need to be thinking about, what am I going to say? Well, maybe even before then, you need to be thinking about what you're going to run on, so you can even raise money, mm-hmm. if that's how you're going to approach it. So basically starting there, and then building out, you know, maybe a committee of folks that are going to help you raise money and help you run and help you door knock and help you recruit volunteers and all of these things. That's kind of like the beginning steps of any race.
So are you door knocking for these candidates that you're working with?
I cannot physically be at all the locations and door knock, but you know, that's definitely a component of some races, especially if you have, you know, like four people in a race and it's going to be tied and you're afraid that voter turnout's not going to be great. You know, we will provide a, you know, basically data to say, okay, these are the people we need to be knocking on their doors, and, you know, we need to get volunteers, or like the candidate themselves need to go out and door knock. And I have candidates that have knocked on every door in their community, every single voter in their community, to help win an election. And I mean, it's like you're out there door knocking every single day, talking to people and trying to get them on to vote for you.
Yeah. So you know, you kind of come up with a plan. Is it, how important is it to have a strategist, somebody that understands politics, that understands government?
So, it can be, it's interesting, especially if someone's a first time candidate, they don't really know entirely what all they should be doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't do everything, but I'm basically working on, you know, the back end of it. And I am saying, okay, let's say you have, you know, $20,000. Okay, we need to spend X number of dollars on direct mail. We need to spend X number of dollars on targeted social media ads. We need to spend X number of dollars on signs. And then let me also give you, if we're going to door knock, let me give you and your volunteers this list of voters, and we're going to knock on these doors. And, you know, if money is really tight or whatnot, we're going to target high propensity voters, which means these people just always show up and vote, or they do most of the time, because it's very important how you spend your resources in some races, especially if they're self-funding or whatnot, and there's just not a whole lot of dollars. I have some clients that I'll work with, and after the race, they're like, gosh, I really didn't know what all went into this. Mm-hmm. And so by having someone like me work with them, I'm focusing on these certain aspects, and they can actually get out there and they can talk to the voters, mm-hmm. which I can't, you know, I could do for them, but they need to be out there talking to folks.
Yeah, there's something to be said for you being your own spokesperson. And you know, if your candidate comes to your house as opposed to so-and-so who's like, oh, well, I'm, you know, you feel valuable. And I mean, I have to admit that I have had, when people have come and knocked on my door, I've looked into them a little bit more that I probably wouldn't have if they hadn't knocked on my door. And so those kind of things, face-to-face time is really important.
Exactly. Exactly.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Zach Stevens from ZD Stevens Company, a political consulting firm. I'm going to give you a tagline today. While we talked last week with Jeremy Rivera, who does SEO, and how you go to a website and you don't know what is on there. And so I'm going to tell people what you do instead of just ZD Stevens Company.
I also don't even have a website. So I'm really great at helping people get their message out, right. But I'm not great at putting my message out there.
Well, so. Someday when you have like a, you know, bajillion dollar consulting firm, you'll have it all put together. So one of the things I think that's really interesting. So I don't love politics. I think that I'm a little bit like, I think conspiracy theorists are a little funny, and like, let's talk about like, I think that like there was a thing going around that Joe Biden had died. And so I was like, maybe he died. Like, maybe, you know, we haven't seen any interviews with him. Like, maybe he actually, you know, so I'm like kind of into that a little bit, but I just kind of like mock it too. But when you're advising people, you obviously have your own political beliefs. And do you only work with people who align with your political beliefs? I would think there's only one side of the table in Tennessee that really, you know, it's hard on the other side of the table.
Yeah. So, you know, even if I agree with, you know, a lot of what my clients are interested in, you know, working towards, I won't agree on everything. Yeah. You know, that's, I think that's impossible to work with someone that you agree with on 100% of things. I mean, even in a personal relationship or in friendships, you don't always agree with, mm-hmm. with the person. And so my role is to give them the best advice that I can. It's not to agree with them on every single issue. It is to
give them the best chance at winning.
Exactly. That's the entire point of hiring me to work with someone. So it is, I don't always agree with my clients 100%. And that's something that, you know, I mean, on some issues you would like for your clients to believe a certain way, but that's not reality. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at some point you become okay with it, I would say.
Do you ever feel like, so I think that during the political election, I think in 2020, maybe it was even 2016, I really just started kind of like, I didn't really unfriend people, but I started unfollowing people, and I really kind of, I don't like hostile political conversations. I can have like a great, you know, like, what do you think? But if there's name calling and you're stupid and, you know, all that, I just don't like that hostility. And mm-hmm. so I kind of distance myself from that. Do you feel like, I mean, I feel like you should have like 5 TVs in your office, like watching like CNN and Fox News and seeing, you know, being up to date on all these things all the time. Do you ever feel like you kind of get this like heaviness, like, people always talk about they can't watch the news because it's so heavy and negative. Do you feel like you have to kind of keep yourself in check somewhat?
Yeah. So I don't have 5 TVs. You've seen my office. Yeah. You know, I don't have 5 TVs in there running constantly. I of course I have to be online and kind of know what's happening in the world, but that's not entirely. Whenever I run a race, I think it's more important to talk about the issues that are affecting the voters and try and have a positive message instead of talking about, you know, national politics for a lot of these people. It's not irrelevant, but it is more important, I think, to be talking
to about. Where your focus is.
Exactly.
Do national politics, you know, we were just talking a couple weeks ago. You know, Joe Biden had announced that he was going to step out of the race and it was kind of strategic in the way he did it and all that kind of stuff. Did that affect any of the races that you're working on right now? How much does the national level of things affect our local level?
It really didn't have an impact, I would say, on my clients, their races. I have friends who, you know, work on political campaigns and things like that in other areas. And you have seen more excitement, I feel like, around Democratic candidates and Democratic races now that Kamala Harris is kind of the presumptive Democratic nominee. It's not all that impactful, but, you know, it's something I feel like a student of politics and history, and I find it of interest because it is something that is in a world where every day it seems like something unprecedented is happening that was unprecedented for him to step down or decide not to continue his run for president.
Do you feel though, like I have said to people, and you've probably studied this a little bit more, is that I think politics it swings so far each way, is that, you know, there's a lot of people that are moderates in the middle, and then they see our country going, you know, a certain way, and so they vote Democrat and they get a Democrat into the, you know, the office, whatever it is, maybe locally, maybe nationally. And then they're unhappy there, so they swing back the other way and they take an extremist the other way and they vote Republican. And I thought, this is so crazy. We have such a small attention span as a society. We get so angry. We're so offended by everything. We'll never see a 4-year president or a 2-term, an 8-year president ever again, I kind of thought. But somebody said, this is the same thing that happened in like the 60s or 70s. And there's just this cycle of politics. Do you feel like things are really unprecedented that we're seeing? Or do you think that this is just kind of the cycle of the way politics goes, is that people just get unhappy and they swing the other way?
I mean, there are definitely swings in between the parties. And you do see, you know, especially in this day and age, people are not, I don't know, happy with, you know, where there's a lot of people who aren't happy with where our country is headed, or our state or local community, whatever. Mm-hmm. And there, as I think you mentioned, there is a lot of people who are in the middle and they feel like they have no real control or impact. And to them, I would say, please go and vote. Please inform yourself and go and vote, because you can make an impact in elections.
It happens where people are predicted to win because, you know, you have all this data and you say, oh, you're winning in the polls. But like, that doesn't mean that anybody's actually, people can say whatever they want.
Yeah.
When those people call and they want to know how I stand on things or whatever, I'll ask them about their day. I just want to have a long conversation with them. I don't really care what they have to say. I don't even know what they're talking about most of the time.
Yeah. And to touch on the history aspect of this, I think there have been periods throughout American history where you do see a lot of partisanship and you see a lot of angst and bitterness towards one another. You know, there's a lot of moments in history where we see that. And hopefully, you know, we can get back to a time where we aren't fighting over every single issue. Yeah. I mean, if you do look at, you know, Congress, for example, there are a lot of things that they agree on. And there's a lot of legislation, good legislation, that is bipartisan and gets passed. It's just these really big hot button topics that we're constantly debating, and you know, and there's probably a lot of reasons why we continue to have those conversations. A lot of people fundraise off those things.
Well, and the media swings things. I mean, we're running out of time here, but the media swing can really swing things however they want to swing it. Yeah. And so that's something that you have to combat all the time, I'm sure, of like, you know, how they're saying things, how they're presenting things that maybe are false or maybe don't look the best for the candidates that you're working with.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, if you tune into CNN versus Fox News versus, you know, this or that or other station, there's definitely, they have their own
Jimmy Fallon
talking points.
That's a news source, right? That's where I watch my news from.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. We'll let him be your,
you know,
news source.
I mean, I think that is, there are people who I think I get a lot of information from TikTok. That's not super reliable. That's not the best option, but you know.
From our previous discussions, I think you might also get some of your news or, I don't know, premonitions from The Simpsons. Is that what I hear?
The Simpsons. I think that they predict it all. I think you just go back through and watch all the episodes and see if
it really is interesting how so many of, and I am not a Simpsons, you know,
conspiracy
watcher, but it is interesting. I do see the little videos and tidbits where it seems like they do predict certain things.
There was a great, like, I saw a clip the other day that said something about President Trump's financial whatever from The Simpsons that aired in like the early 2000s. Like, he wasn't President Trump at that time. Like, that is insane. I don't know. What do they have whatever, somebody that sees the future,
A fortune teller or something.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it entirely, but I have read, I think, an article about maybe part of it is they've just ran for so long, and so maybe they've just written,
they just know what,
everything,
yeah,
under the sun. So
maybe if people want to find you or find more, like, let's say I am interested in running for All Good City Mayor.
Do we have breaking news
breaking news
air today?
You heard it here. No, I say this all the time. It's going to be another 2 years before that even happens. But anyway, so how can people find you or connect with you?
Yeah, so
on Twitter, are you a Twitter Xer? Is that a thing?
I think that is what maybe people say. I am notoriously hard to find online.
Okay,
but come by
the Biz Foundry.
Come by the Biz Foundry.
You can see Zach there. He's got a nice, like, you know, comfy chair in there, like a therapist's office. You can come in and that's what you do, right? Somebody's interested in running, and then they can start working with you and kind of see where to go from there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for coming in today. I appreciate telling us all about politics and all the things. And I hope that your candidates do well in this upcoming election, and good luck to you and them.
Well, thank you, Tiffany. I've enjoyed this today. Thank you.
Zach Stevens from ZD Stevens Company. Thank you so much.